This is True News. I'm Rick Wiles. During a visit to Kenya in 2008, many Kenyans, including some closely associated with former Kenyan President Kibaki, advised me, indeed, some pleaded with me, to warn my fellow American citizens not to elect Senator Barack Obama as President of the United States of America. President Kibaki defeated Raila Odinga in the 2007 Kenyan presidential election. It just happens that Mr. Odinga is Barack Obama's cousin. Horrific, bloody, violent civil war erupted in Kenya after the election. During my 2008 visit to Kenya, I was told by locals that Barack Obama was the primary instigator of the rioting. I personally saw the devastation caused by the post-election rioting. One man in Nairobi was missing his arm because Odinga's supporters cut it off because he voted for President Kibaki. The most vivid memory in my mind was the visit to the city of Eldoret near the Uganda border. I was there less than 7 months after the post-election riots, yet tens of thousands of citizens were still living in temporary tent dwellings because their homes had been destroyed by fires in the riots. I preached the gospel one night in Eldoret while standing on a truck platform. Hundreds of lost souls were saved in that full moon night in Eldoret, Kenya. I shall never forget it. I shall also not forget the faces and voices of Kenyans who strongly urged me to warn American citizens not to be duped by Barack Obama. They told me he was well known in Kenya. And I'm not referring to his birthplace. I'm referring to his direct involvement in Kenyan politics as a troublemaker. That's exactly what they called him, a troublemaker, an instigator. Indeed, many Kenyans were convinced that it was Barack Obama who secretly managed the 2008 post-election violence in Kenya. During a visit to the Nairobi property that houses the Kenyan national government, I met with a close personal advisor to former President Kibaki, who was in power at that time. He, too, warned me about Illinois Senator Barack Obama, who was the presumptive Democratic Party nominee at the time. The presidential advisor told me that during the election campaign and during the post-election riots, Senator Barack Obama made numerous telephone calls to Kenyan political activists and that Mr. Obama personally visited Kenya. The advisor told me that President Kibaki was furious with Barack Obama's meddling in Kenyan politics and his instigating of strife and division. The advisor told me that President Kibaki called Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and said, "Please get your Senator Obama out of my country." The Kenyans who spoke to me in 2008 said that they were shocked to read newspaper articles saying that Obama was leading in the polls. He would be elected president of the United States of America. I asked why they were so worried, and they assured me that he would rip America apart just like he helped his cousin, Raila Odinga, tear apart Kenya when he didn't win the presidency. Well, I returned to America in July 2008, and I told our True News audience what I had heard in Kenya about Senator Barack Obama throughout the 2008 campaign and during the 8 years of the Obama regime. I repeatedly said that Barack Obama is a communist instigator and that his goal is a second civil war in America. The number of communists connected to Obama are simply too numerous to mention. Suffice it to say, he was schooled in communist insurgency and surrounded by communist comrades his entire life, starting with his boyhood mentor, Frank Marshall Davis. Davis was a member of the Communist Party, USA. He was on an FBI list of dangerous communist agents inside the USA. I predicted in 2016 that Obama would never leave Washington, D.C., and that he would run a resistance movement to President Trump from inside his private home in Washington. I stand by that claim. If you want to know who organized and directed the Russia Hack the Election hoax to impeach President Trump, look no farther than Barack Hussein Obama, the leader of the American Communist Movement. For 4 years, the leftist corporate news media has relentlessly fomented sedition against President Trump and prepared the American public for civil war. Their civil war has arrived. America's political left has finally started their much-desired civil war. American cities are burning every night, while left-wing progressive Democratic governors and mayors wring their hands and do nothing. Their schemes will not succeed. The pendulum is swinging to the other side. People, white, black, and brown, are demanding law and order, not chaos and revolution. President Trump has wisely deployed the U.S. military to American cities to quell the violence, looting, and burning. The political left will have to retreat or face heavily armed U.S. troops in the streets. Our topic tonight is troops in the streets. Trump nullifies radical Dems' civil war schemes. Doc Burkhardt, Ed Brizal are here to help me dissect and analyze today's news headlines. And all of our headlines are focused on the civil unrest that's in America right now.
But for our True News listeners and viewers who've been with us any length of time, for them, this should not be a surprise. No. We've been talking about this for a very long time.
Absolutely.
Especially as it relates to the revolution cycle that we've been talking about for years now, and coinciding with the war cycle, so we can expect war drumbeats to be starting up soon and leading into the fall as well to coincide with this. But this is not a shock for us,
no.
Is it?
Doc, this 8 years of Obama's regime, I lost count how many interviews I did with people who documented his communist connections. I mean, to this day, he's surrounded by communists. I mean, Brennan voted for the Communist Party.
Yes, Valerie Jarrett.
One of the reasons he had trouble in his confirmation hearing is because of his communist past.
But he was still confirmed.
Yes. Was Mr. J, the director?
J. Johnson.
His grandfather was a member of the Communist Party. He was proud of it. Okay, Valerie Jarrett, communist. Her parents, communists. Frank Marshall Davis, his mentor, communists. All right. Everybody around Obama's career was a communist. I don't know why this was hard for people to digest, except the American public is very naive, and they just can't believe that there would be a communist revolution inside the USA. And to this day, they can't figure this out. Like, in recent days, photographs and videos are appearing on the internet showing vehicles unloading pallets of bricks in the downtown areas of cities that are burning.
Right.
And in some of these videos and stills, there are police officers standing by watching. How could this be? How could bricks be delivered into a city that's experiencing social unrest, looting, vandalism, burning, violence, and police officers be there in the scene watching it? I'll tell you how. Because those police officers are part of the communist insurgency. The mayor and others in the city government are part of the communist insurgency. That's how it's happening. Don't scratch your head and go, how could this be? Well, it's very easy to figure out how it can be. It's a communist revolution in America. They're bringing the resources into the city. They have their people embedded inside numerous government agencies from the city level, the county, state, and federal. They have them in the news media. They have them in the colleges. They have them everywhere. They've been waiting on this day for decades. And in their view, it's finally happening. They've launched their revolution. It is going to end for them really poorly. It's not going to be a pretty picture for them. They either have to retreat, back down, or they have to face armed American soldiers in the streets. They're going to have to deal with helicopters in the air. Are they going to carry out their revolution? I don't think so. If they do, they're much more foolish than I think that they are. I think that they're going to retreat. I think they're going to try to change their tactics. We may see a lull, and then they resurface. It's guerrilla warfare. They pull back, then they strike someplace else. They'll need another incident.
A bigger one.
A bigger one. They'll have to have a bigger incident. They got to create the anger, the fury. Right? They'll stockpile more weapons, more bricks. They'll get more guns in the city. But it is a communist revolution.
Do you think that this was planned all along, that at this time things would come to a head like this? So the only difference being that they expected to have a Democratic president sitting in that chair instead of Donald Trump?
Well, Barack Obama did his very best to provoke a race war. He tried everything he could to make people angry, to provoke white people to attack his government. White people didn't take the bait. They held off. And I believe Barack Obama left the White House very frustrated that he did not get the revolution he wanted. So he stayed in Washington.
As a shadow president.
As the shadow president, running the resistance against Donald Trump. And Trump has succeeded in resisting the resistance. His tenacity has surprised them that he's not been taken down. And their operation with the Russia hoax, one of the most sophisticated operations I've ever seen in my lifetime, Edward. I mean, they were planting evidence in the campaign. They were spying on the presidential candidate in the campaign. They were laying the trap, various traps, throughout the campaign. It was really a masterful, diabolical plan.
And yet, somehow, Donald Trump was elected.
Yes, and survived everything that they've thrown at him. And we predicted all of it. We predicted in 2016 they're going to accuse him of being a Russian spy. If that doesn't work, they're going to try the Electoral College to try to change the votes of the Electoral College. They tried that. That didn't work. Then we said they're going to smear him. All right, they did that. They did that 4 days before the inauguration. That's when they published the dossier. All right. Then we said
they target members of his cabinet.
Try the 25th Amendment. They're going to declare that he's insane, that he's unhinged. Then they'll try impeachment. And we said if all of that fails, they'll kill him. All right. So this is where we're at. Everything else has failed. They've not been able to stop this man. And they're extremely frustrated. And they're carrying out a violent revolution in America. It has nothing to do with George Floyd.
No.
The peaceful protests that are held in many cities in the daytime hours, those are legitimate, constitutionally protected protests. Nothing wrong with those protest marches at all. But what's going on at night is organized insurrection. And it's not just hoodlums running around. There are communist anarchists on the streets carrying out acts of violence against police officers, against innocent citizens, against store owners. These are the anarchists, the Antifa people. Somebody's funding them. Somebody's directing them. Who is it? Where's the money trail? Where does this lead? Is it going to lead to the Southern Poverty Law Center? People for the American Way? Is it going to lead to George Soros? Where is the network of radical communists that are funding the anarchists that are on the streets? Maybe it's not going directly through those organizations, but is there a soft link that ties all these groups together? ACORN, the foundations, all right? All of this is tied together, one massive left-wing operation. Who's the big cheese at the top? Who's the guy at the top that's directing it, that's funding it? All right? I believe Donald Trump is now, I believe he has now started the process of finding that person, exposing that network. We're going to talk about it later in today's program. First, we're going to show you some of the stuff that happened last night, some things that happened today. But I want to start with two scenes that are at the... These are two things that happened that I support and I approve of, and they seem divergent, and yet I think all Americans should be supporting both of them. All right. The first one, Edward, happened with, was this a Columbia, where the police officers, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
60 officers right there were lined in the street. There were also was peaceful protesters lined with their signs, and the police officers as a show of not as unity but solidarity, as
look
you see
this.
Here.
Look at this, amazing.
Police are facing the protesters, and they took a knee. They took a knee, and then all the protesters took a knee.
I was amazed when I saw this today. It's just an emotionally moving sight, and I commend the police officers who did this because it diffused the tension, and it told the protesters, these police officers are not your enemies. They don't approve of what happened. They're not here to hurt you. They're not here to fight you. And so there was no violence in Fayetteville.
They came together.
They came together.
It reminded me of the scene of the young boy with a water bottle in Baltimore in 2015, coming up to the riot police officer and handing it to him. You see here that the cops and the protesters, peaceful protesters, came together, hugged. They said yes. Emotional is what I read, but in short, they thanked each other for understanding.
Look at this. This is the spirit of Christ working.
Hallelujah.
Reconciliation.
Blessed be the peacemakers. Wow.
So everybody there in Fayetteville needs to be commended in the way they handled this situation. Now, that's first video. I totally approve what happened there. The wonderful visual, what we just saw. But I also approve of this next video because this happened in Washington, D.C. last night, our nation's capital. And it's not a wonderful experience. It's not a wonderful thing to see. It's quite troubling that we have to see this. But I approve of it. And what I'm talking about, military helicopters descending down low in the streets of Washington, D.C. to send a message, not to protesters, but to anarchists. Do not call these anarchists protesters. When you hear the news media refer to the protesters who are burning buildings, attacking police officers, looting, they're not protesters. They're anarchists. They're revolutionaries. And mixed among the hoodlums are professional communist organizers and agitators.
Provocateurs.
They're provocateurs. They're bringing in the bricks. They're organizing the violence. They're giving others the instructions of how to carry out acts of violence. This is what happened in Washington, D.C. last night.
I saw in that video, Rick, the military style helicopter was using the wind, using the force as it was low to the ground to disperse the crowds, disperse the anarchists as journalists, because these young men and women were busy lighting things on fire, throwing bottles, throwing anything they get their hands on at the police there, trying to keep order in our nation's capital.
And anarchists hide in crowds, Rick. You need a crowd, yes. You need a group of people. And so the anarchists, they weave their way through the crowd, instigating further contention, further strife within a very flammable situation, and then they make it flammable themselves by setting things on fire.
But they weren't throwing bottles or bricks at the helicopters.
No, they're right. Cowering.
Because it was a show of force.
Right. They had no idea what was going to happen. For all they knew, the soldiers were going to shoot them. And the violence ended last night in Washington, D.C. when the helicopter showed up. President Trump was right. He did the right thing. And the military is doing the right thing. Look, for years, I go, when this newscast started in 1999, Bill Clinton was in the White House. We had just been through Ruby Ridge and Waco, where the government carried out acts of violence against people, burned children and women in that building in Waco, Texas. All right, it was a cult, but it was a harmless cult. All right, they were just weird. By the way, I didn't know this. Somebody told me this last week. Doc, I did not know this. The Branch Davidians were Talmudists.
Interesting.
That's true, yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know they were studying the Talmud.
Yes.
But anyhow, what the government did to the Branch Davidians was outrageous. They set that building on fire and children burned to death. Then you had Randy Weaver's son shot in the back, 12-year-old son.
Yes.
Shot him in the back. No justification for it. Clinton. Clinton was trying to get something started in America. Who was there? I mean, it was his wife, evil, wicked Hillary Clinton. They wanted a confrontation. It didn't happen. Then they left the office of the presidency. All right, things calmed down a little bit. Then we get back to Barack Obama comes in. What happens? They're trying to get a confrontation going again. So all these years, I've been watching this happen, and at times on edge, thinking they're going to do it. They're going to start it. But I never imagined it was going to happen. All right, and so we were concerned. We were concerned as conservatives. You're going to have a far left regime in power that is going to try to round up conservatives, confiscate guns, put people in detention centers and so forth. You know what? This is turning out to be Haman's gallows. What they planned for the church, for conservatives, for patriots, what they planned is going to be flipped around on them. Mm. There's a Republican president in the White House right now who's brought the military in. You know who's going to get rounded up?
The
left. The communists. The people who are burning down the country. That's who's going to get rounded up. This thing is completely flipped on them. And I have to think that privately, last night, a lot of them were starting to become afraid. I'm talking not the thugs in the street. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the leaders, the ones who know that their names are linked to these organizations, secretly linked, that their bank accounts, the flow of money, the meetings, the trail of emails, text messages, that if the federal government comes in and begins a serious investigation, it's going to lead to some very powerful people, and the U.S. government is going to seize their bank accounts, seize their assets, and put some of these people in prison. Mm. That's where this is going right now. If President Trump does not let up, if Attorney General Barr stays behind him, if the military stays with the president, if the U.S. military gets involved in this insurrection in the terms of finding who is carrying it out.
Right.
The moment they shoot a soldier,
the game changes.
The game changes, doesn't it? The moment they kill American troops in the streets, this game changes completely because now the military is going to hunt them down.
And they truly become the enemy of the people.
That's right. This thing's going to backfire on them. And I have to believe that there are people inside these far left groups right now who are very scared today that they may be outed as part of a communist underground in this country. It's one thing to have communist beliefs. I wouldn't support putting people in jail for having communist beliefs. But when you organize to overthrow the government of the United States and to implement a communist revolution, and you are burning buildings and killing people, you're now an enemy of the country.
Using violence to enforce your political belief is terrorism.
That's right. And they have to be outed. They have to be hunted down. They have to be given a trial. And that trial could be a military trial. You realize this?
Yes.
They could be given a military trial. Once you're declared a terrorist organization, you don't have constitutional rights.
You're akin to the people we have.
Where are you taken to? Guantanamo. You may see people in these far left organizations transported to Guantanamo and waterboarded to confess who's funding the organizations. I know my enemies watch me. I hope you soiled your pants. I hope you're scared right now because the pendulum is swinging. You've been ripping this country apart for decades. You've been harassing God-fearing men and women, smearing people's names and reputations, fomenting sedition and revolution, poisoning the minds of children, defiling people's souls, and now you're on the verge of being outed.
And you're going to bring the entire network down. They need to get rid of more than their pants. They're going to have to get rid of their socks and shoes because it's not just the individuals. It's the networks, the social media organizations they've been using to execute these plans, the cloud documents they've been using to organize the addresses, the hit lists, all the things they put together.
It's all out there. Somebody has it. Somebody has a record of these things. And it may be at Google. Maybe at Facebook.
Maybe a server in the Ukraine.
Might be, yeah. Could be a server in Ukraine. Microsoft may have it. I mean, they're using some types of technology to communicate with each other. Somebody has a record. And if the Justice Department goes after them.
All it takes is $1.
Or the military.
Or the military.
It may be the military that goes after them. I'm telling you, if they start killing American soldiers in American streets, I hope General Milley goes after them with vengeance. I hope he hunts them down like he would a terrorist in another country. If you blow up a military vehicle in another country and kill 10 U.S. soldiers, our military is going to hunt you down. They're going to fine you. And they're going to execute you because you carried out acts of violence against soldiers. These people in the streets, so far, they've been terrorizing citizens, shop owners, pedestrians, right? Killing cops, driving cars into police officers, beating them up on the streets, shooting them and sitting in their cruisers, okay? But do they have the backbone to face down soldiers that are heavily armed, trained in warfare?
Able to call in predator drones, able to bring in all kinds of mechanisms of warfare against their organizations?
I don't think that they do, but I might be surprised, and we may be in for a summer that we never thought we would see here. If they start carrying out attacks on troops in the cities, let's see how far the communists in America will go. How far will they go? Because this is it for them. This is their
Alamo.
But this is their, I hope it's their Waterloo. Let this be the place where their movement dies. Are they willing to fight that hard? Or are they going to back up and go underground like termites to hide? Maybe hide for a decade until things calm down. Because if somebody starts investigating the trail, they're in trouble. They're not in power right now. They don't have the White House. They don't have the Senate. They're not in power.
And they've angered more than just Christians or even Republicans and conservatives. This is bipartisan. There's an American anger and frustration against these anarchists. And that's shown actually by the Atlanta mayor, Rick. Atlanta's mayor, there's some things she said in the past I don't think we'd be a fan of, but on this subject, on the burning of Atlanta, oh my goodness, she is absolutely against these anarchists.
Yes, she is. We're talking about Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms of Atlanta, and Democrat mayor. I commend her on the things that she said. She spoke from her heart. Many of you probably saw this. I think this was over the weekend. But we have a video clip of her comments, and I believe it was from her heart. I believe she was expressing her true feelings. She was outraged by what was happening in Atlanta. Look, Atlanta has a Civil War history.
Yes.
Atlanta knows about burnings. Okay, this is what the mayor of Atlanta, Mayor Bottoms, said a few days ago.
I wear this each and every day, and I pray over my children each and every day. So what I see happening on the streets of Atlanta is not Atlanta. This is not a protest. This is not in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. This is chaos. A protest has purpose. When Dr. King was assassinated, we didn't do this to our city. So if you love this city that has had a legacy of black mayors and black police chiefs and people who care about this city, where more than 50% of the business owners in Metro Atlanta are minority business owners. If you care about this city, then go home. You're not honoring the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement. You're not protesting anything, running out with brown liquor in your hands, breaking windows in this city. T.I. and Killer Mike own half the West Side. So when you burn down this city, you're burning down our community. If you want change in America, go and register to vote. Show up at the polls on June 9th. Do it in November. That is the change we need in this country. You are disgracing our city. You are disgracing the life of George Floyd and every other person who has been killed in this country. We are better than this. We're better than this as a city. We are better than this as a country. Go home. Go home. In the same way I can protect my son on yesterday, I cannot protect you out in those streets. You're throwing knives at our police officers. You are burning cars.
Good mayor.
Yes.
Commend her. And Atlanta is fortunate to have her as mayor right now. Keisha Bottoms, mayor of Atlanta. Let's compare her to Governor Whitmer of Michigan. Governor Whitmer, who seems to be on a power drive. I imagine her wearing black leather boots and a whip. I mean, she just absolutely seems out of control. We've seen this with the coronavirus lockdown. She's totally whacked out.
It's a matrix of domination.
That says it all. So what was her response to President Trump calling out troops last night to protect the capital of the United States of America. People were burning the city. What was her response? Here it is.
She believes it's dangerous and divisive.
Oh, excuse me. I thought we had video. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's dangerous and divisive. She said that it shows a clear signal that President Trump is determined to, as she said, sow seeds of hatred and division. This is, again, on the heels of the mysterious leak of the phone call President Trump had with the governors, with Governor Whitmer. She was commenting on that and on the call to basically bring in the troops to bring order to D.C. You have to now wonder, which governor was it that released that tape?
Well, this is the same governor, though, that put the lockdown on people who were protesting the you know, everything going on with coronavirus.
With the lockdowns.
Right.
She was against it. She was threatening them.
So while they're locking up nail salon owners and barbers and stuff like that, now she calls President Trump, dangerous and divisive. But she's been dividing already.
That's right. We just remind you, refresh your memory. This is number 12 for our control room. This is when Michigan citizens gathered at the state capitol in Michigan to protest the outrageous lockdown restrictions that wacky Whitmer had put on the people of Michigan. This is a video showing what happened just about a month ago. I didn't see anybody burning down the buildings.
No, I didn't see any bricks being thrown.
I didn't see cops shot.
It's peaceful.
Those were peaceful protests, just like the protests that are taking place now in the daytime are peaceful. It's their constitutional right to do it. But Governor Whitmer, she was against the people protesting.
Yes.
But let's take a look at what happened in Grand Rapids, Michigan. These people were not practicing social distancing. They were not locked down in their homes. They were out burning the city. Watch this.
Well, the mayor of Grand Rapids has declared a civil emergency.
Things got ugly overnight after a confrontation with police. In fact, tensions started to rise as police tried to get a crowd of protesters to move. The situation disintegrated after dark. Several fires were set. People were smashing windows. The city will be under a curfew from 7 p.m. until 5 a.m. for the next 48 hours.
Now, Governor Whitmer, you know, she had a barber charged with violating her coronavirus lockdown. The guy just wanted to cut hair and pay his bills. But she had the state police dispatched to his barber shop for cutting hair. But the governor did nothing about hoodlums breaking windows, burning cars and properties in Grand Rapids. What's going on there with this Democrat progressive governor who wants to be the vice president of the United States? Is that who you want as vice president of the United States with senile Joe Biden? I mean, he's so senile, he wouldn't even know he's in the White House. He wouldn't know who his vice president is. They just got to put him in a chair and give him a sucker. I don't know what he's going to do. Guy's out of it. But she wants to be the vice president. You want her as vice president of the United States? So this is what the progressive Democrats are offering, all right, which is look the other way, don't do anything while hoodlums and anarchists are burning cities.
Oh, no, they go even further than that, Rick. They'll actually encourage you. So they've got to show their rage. They've got to show their anger. They let them do it. And we've seen this happen before over the past several years. Democrat governors, they come out and say, well, people have to be able to express, you know, their pain. And they keep using that word rage. The word rage keeps coming up.
Yeah, so Governor Gavin Newsom of California, he feels their pain. Right? When Bill Clinton used to say, I feel your pain, he was talking about their emotional pain. But with Newsom, I think we're talking about physical pain, because these people are carrying out wanton acts of violence all throughout the state of California. And he said he welcomes the rage.
Look at that headline, Rick.
Yeah, Governor Newsom welcomes rage.
Your rage is real. Express it so that we can hear it. Let's not let others drown out that rage. It's very clear here.
Well, what is rage? Well, Webster's Dictionary has a definition of rage: violent and uncontrolled anger, a fit of violent wrath, violent action.
Okay, now.
Does Governor Newsom not know what rage means?
That's what the dictionary says there. But in that article we just saw, Governor Newsom said Monday he welcomed the rage of protesters as long as they are peaceful. How can you have peaceful rage?
It's an oxymoron. He knows it. He knows what the word means.
Yes. And when you say you welcome rage, you're giving people permission to express that rage, express that anger, up to an uncontrollable point. You're allowing it. You're looking the other way.
But you can't go to church in California.
Yeah, but they'll let you go burn a church, I guess, right?
Exactly. So what are the Democrat progressive governors and mayors really up to?
They're championing the new normal.
Law-abiding, middle-class Americans, locked down, can't go to work, can't run their businesses, can't pay their bills, can't go to church. You know, have to be 6 feet apart from everybody, have to wear a mask. All this, these are the restrictions that the Democrat progressive mayors and governors are imposing on law-abiding middle-class Americans.
Yes.
But at the same time, they encourage the radicals to express their rage.
Yes.
Well, think about it like this. The Democrat governors would argue they're trying to save lives, right? If this is about the coronavirus and the pandemic, they put all these draconian measures in place to save lives. Well, how many lives are being saved right now on the street as police are being shot, injured? Protesters and others, the rioters, the anarchists themselves getting injured. How many lives will be lost in the melee as these governors continue to champion this pandemic?
And Rick, speaking of the pandemic, I thought people were getting sick with coronavirus everywhere. Instead, they're out protesting and rioting everywhere.
Well, apparently,
socially distancing these folks?
There's no virus during a riot. Obviously, there's no virus. The virus doesn't come out when you're rioting.
But it does when you go to church and sing.
Yes, because Yes, if you sing in church, it's coming out of your mouth, all right? But when you're fomenting on the streets like a rabid dog, it doesn't come out. Listen, Governor Newsom of California, just a month ago, said he was prepared to enact martial law.
Yes.
If necessary, to keep people locked down in their homes and to block them from going to church.
Now, look at that date, March 18th. All right, so that's 2 months ago. 2 months ago that we're looking, a month and a half ago, that he was ready to call out the National Guard, do whatever it's necessary. We got to keep these people locked up in their homes so they don't go out and get haircuts or buy a Twinkie at the grocery store, anything, that they have to be locked down for this. But somehow, rioters, revelers, anarchists have free reign to go and do whatever they want to do.
We'll give you an example. This is number 18. That's CBS Channel 2. Absolute mayhem. Pharmacy, Boost Mobile stores looted after George Floyd protests in Van Nuys, California. Okay, so this is all over California. Absolute mayhem. Well, where is Governor Newsom and his martial law? Somebody should just tell them, hey, Governor, they're not social distancing. You better call out the National Guard.
Right.
You better declare martial law. These people want to go to church.
Well, the governor told us he approves of that protest rage. That's
yes.
what it is. He
yes.
approves of that protest rage.
Well, just tell the governor that these people are going to church.
And they're carrying Corona cooties to church.
Yes, he'll bring out the National Guard, declare martial law. There'll be law and order in California.
Well, they are going to church. They're going to the Church of Satan on the streets.
Well, they're going to burn the churches. They're going to burn the buildings. But Governor Newsom really doesn't care because they're expressing their rage. Now, these Democrat progressive mayors and governors are winking and nodding to the anarchists, get the job done. That's what they're doing. They're winking and nodding to the anarchists. Get it done.
And of course, they have to come out and say, "Well, we condemn the violence. We can condemn any anarchists that are seeking to cause problems." Well, if you really believe that, you'd have the force in place
That's
to
right.
stop it, right?
Yeah, you condemn it with force. That's how you do it. You get out there and you stop it. Let's take a look at New York City. There's another progressive communist mayor. He is a communist. Mayor de Blasio, he's a communist. He's proud of his socialist communist connections. So what's going on in New York City? Well, behavior that would not be happening if Rudy Giuliani was the mayor. It didn't happen when Giuliani was there. Giuliani had plenty of problems during his time as mayor, but he was a strong mayor. He kept law and order. In fact, New York City, the Times Square, they transformed Times Square. It was full of porn shops and prostitutes. And yes. by the time Giuliani was gone, Times Square had been completely rehabilitated. He got rid of the criminals that were in Times Square.
An officer in every corner.
But now, under de Blasio, the communists, chaos reigns. So the one of the most shocking things was what happened to Macy's department store last night. This is the iconic.
I was shocked when you told me this.
This is the iconic Macy's.
The flagship store.
Yes.
My wife and I go to that store every time we're in New York. We enjoy going there just
to be in Macy's.
Right. And to see this video, I mean, I was shocked first when you told me, and then when I saw what they were doing.
And Macy's just reopened.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
The chain is barely functioning because of the coronavirus lockdown. They're on the verge of bankruptcy, so they just reopened their New York City flagship store.
And it wasn't a fire sale until this happened.
Yeah, they turned, de Blasio's anarchists have now created a fire sale. Boy, the merchandise was flying out the doors and the windows because everything, the store was open. Yeah, the windows were open, the doors were open, and the looters were inside Macy's. Watch this video.
This is the same New York, Rick, that had to close the streets to save everyone from coronavirus.
Yes. This is led by the mayor who ran for the Democratic presidential nomination.
And spent, what, $1 billion to, drop out?
No, Bloomberg. That was Bloomberg.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Right?
This is de Blasio.
I'm getting all these billionaires mixed up.
So de Blasio wanted to be president of the United States, but he's a backer of Joe Biden. Is this the leadership you want in the White House? They're showing the American people, elect us, this is what you get on a national scale.
Stand downs and chaos.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine these people in power right now. This is terrifying. They're showing us the type of government they would give us, which is no government, anarchy. So the anarchy is meant to get them in power.
Mm. United States of Gladio.
It's terrifying what's going on right now. This next one, this is Fox News, New York City. Looters run wild in Bronx. His video shows NYPD officer being beaten. I saw the video of this. It was tragic. These guys were beating the police officer. He didn't pull his revolver and shoot him. I think he should have. He had every right and justification to shoot him. He didn't do it. These cops are being beaten now, and they're afraid to defend themselves because right. they'll be the next, poster child for rioting. So the rioters are allowed to beat the cops, but the cops can't defend themselves.
Yes.
Look, I wouldn't blame the police officers if they quit and walked off the job and told de Blasio, it's yours, you do it.
But that's a possibility, Rick. I mean, yes. It really is. I mean, how many police officers are going to continue to go in, put their lives on the line, put their lives at risk? They're going to start doing the calculation. You know, I'd like to go home and see my kids tonight. Maybe instead I just won't go in. And I think the left is kind of counting on that to some extent, that you'll have a diminished police force, an overwhelmed police force. And even if the military comes out, there's not enough military to cover every city.
We had that in Hong Kong. The police officers were
exhausted. Right.
What exhaustion. Happens if they start doxing the police officers? But they start publishing their home addresses, the names of their wives, their children? What happens then?
Well, their families.
Are they going out on the street to protect the city, or are they going to stay home to protect their wives and children?
Or leave the city.
But this is what anarchy does to a country. The next one is New York set on fire. Oh, no, I saw that one. Is that?
Yeah. This is the actual video.
Yeah, this is the video of the. Oh, this is sad. This is the video of the officer being beaten last night on the streets of New York. How'd you like to be a single officer on that street? Be there by yourself. Would you do it? Would you stand out there by yourself?
You'd be dead.
Knowing that the mayor of New York is not behind you. De Blasio is not behind the New York Police Department. He is their enemy. Let's be real blunt about it. De Blasio is the enemy of the New York Police Department. He is not their friend. He's not their protector. He's not their leader. He's not their defender. He's their enemy.
And think about what's happening in the city psychologically when they see looters, rioters attack a police officer, and the police officer takes it, can't even defend himself. I mean, how confident would you be to walk out on the street, Rick, after that moment? You knowing that the police, if they can't protect themselves, they sure can't protect you.
And why can't they protect themselves? Because their mayor, de Blasio, has their hands tied.
Yes.
That's why they something has to be done about de Blasio. He's a communist in power, allowing the rioting to continue in his city. This next one, this is another tragedy. A police officer literally mowed down in the streets by hit and run attacker. It's a communist anarchist running over police officers standing in the street. Very sad, very shocking video to watch. This is what the Democrat Party has brought to America. The same people that have resisted the elected president of the United States for 4 years. It's the same spirit as in Kenya. As I opened up this program, what the Kenyans told me in 2008 is Obama's cousin, Raila Odinga, lost the election, and Obama and Odinga started riots in Kenya to get the election overturned. That's what I was told. And they told me in 2008, if Obama gets elected, he's going to tear your country apart. Well, what happened in 2016? The Democrats didn't win the election. What have they done? They've torn the country to pieces.
Yes.
Who's at the top of this thing? Raila Odinga's cousin, Barack Obama.
And they use the same tactics they've always used in these instances. If you remember 2016, how many rallies, political rallies, were broken up with violence? Remember Chicago?
Yes.
Remember California? Both in cases, the cities, for some reason, decided to let a riot form right next to where the president, you know, President Trump's rallies are being held. And you had supporters, elderly, others coming out, getting their heads smacked in.
Because secretly, the mayor was winking and nodding, saying, let it happen. Let it happen.
A strategic
stand-down. He was getting instructions from somebody. Folks, you got to understand, there's a communist revolution underway. It's been underway since Obama got in the White House. It's taken them a long time. They've not brought down the country. But it's teetering right now. It is absolutely teetering. This country could collapse. Do not think it's impossible for this country to collapse. It is very possible. We are in dangerous, perilous times right now. There's a communist revolution underway. And if they succeed, you and I are done. We're finished. We're going to have a fight. We're going to fight for our lives. They're not going to let us alone. What you're seeing taking place in American cities is what they're going to do everywhere. They're going to bring it to the suburbs. They're going to bring it to the small towns. Look, last night, as we left this building, we were notified the local Indian River County Sheriff's Office sent out an alert. We're here in Little Vero Beach, Florida. A lot of people call it Zero Beach because it's so dull. The sheriff's office sent out a message last night after we finished here that they had credible threats that Vero Beach was going to burn down.
Small town Vero Beach.
So the network of communists, they're sending out the threats even to small towns.
And it went even so far to say if there's any reason for you to be out after 7 p.m., change the reason. You should stay at home tomorrow night.
A warning from the sheriff. So this is dangerous here in Vero Beach. We got another one. This is number 23. This is an anarchist drove a vehicle over three police officers in Buffalo, New York. This is another tragedy. It's hard to watch. Here it is.
Rick, that scene can be seen anywhere in the country. And this was New York. This was, you know, in upstate New York. But the problem here is that small towns like Vero Beach, where I was grew up basically in Iowa, Quad Cities, Iowa, had the same incidents taking place. If it's happening in Iowa, it's happening with the threats in Vero Beach, it can happen anywhere in America.
And that's how terrorists work, because people in small towns never think that there would be a terrorist attack in their town. You know, small farming town, rural town. You know, you live there quietly, safely, because you think all that stuff's far off. It's in New York City. It's in Los Angeles. It's in Chicago. It's not going to happen in my little town in Iowa. Not going to happen in my little town in Idaho. No, that's exactly where terrorists hit. to bring terror, to terrorize.
Intimidation.
Because if a small town in Idaho burns down, then people in Montana know we're not safe either. That's the purpose of terrorism. And I'm telling you, these people, this Democratic-led anarchy, they're going to hit the small towns. They're going to terrorize America. What's the purpose of it? We're going to punish you for voting for Donald Trump. We're going to punish you for not surrendering to our revolution. The entire purpose of it is bring America to its knees so the American people just say, we're tired of it. We're tired of the violence. Just take over, run the country. Well, when they get that kind of power, they're not going to stop the violence. Just if you know your history, what happens when communists take over, that's just the beginning of the violence, because they're going to wipe out anybody that would have any resistance to the revolution. Interestingly, Governor Cuomo, a Democrat of New York, the governor of New York, said today that he may remove Mayor de Blasio. I don't know what powers the governor of New York has that constitutionally, whether he can remove the mayor of a city. I've never heard of this, but here in Florida, the governor can remove a sheriff. And it happens from time to time. If there's a corruption or something happens in the sheriff's office, the governor has the power to remove an elected sheriff. I don't know if the governor of New York has that power, but he said it today. He hinted that he doesn't want to do it, but he could do it. Here's Governor Cuomo making that threat.
First, the NYPD and the mayor did not do their job last night. I believe that. Second, you have 38,000 NYPD people. It is the largest police department in the United States of America. Use 38,000 people and protect property. Use the police, protect property and people. Look at the videos. It was a disgrace. My option is to displace the mayor of New York City and bring in the National Guard as the governor in a state of emergency and basically take over. You would have to take over the mayor's job. You'd have to displace the mayor, right? I don't think we're at that point. B, that would be such a chaotic situation in the midst of an already chaotic situation. I don't think that makes any sense.
He doesn't want a chaotic situation. Well, your city is burning.
So have I fallen into a rabbit hole here or something, Rick? Because did I just hear a Democrat governor say that he's considering displacing a Democrat mayor of New York City?
The largest city in America.
I'm having a difficulty comprehending.
His cool, calm, and collected appearance, it doesn't work for this one.
Because Cuomo, who's dreaming that the Democrats will snap out of their delusion before the Democratic convention this summer, the virtual convention, and decide they're not going to nominate senile Joe Biden, and they'll turn to the governor of New York. How can he run for president if New York City burns down?
Right.
So he's got a political problem. He wants to run for president. Oh, but I got to remove the mayor. Oh, he's a Democrat. This is going to be messy. How am I going to do this? Oh, well, the city's burning night by night. He's thinking politics. He said that, you know, this would create a chaotic situation. Well, you have a chaotic situation.
So
look at the video of them driving cars over cops. But you don't care about cops. You know, obviously, Governor Cuomo didn't care about elderly people in the nursing homes because he sent infected coronavirus patients and ordered the nursing homes to allow them to be housed in the nursing homes and infect the elderly people.
In hospices.
In hospitals, yeah. Yes.
We now know what those mass graves are for. It's for the incompetence from the Democratic Party, the deaths they cause.
Hey, I want to show our audience how our elected officials here in Florida think. Now, look, Florida's got some left-wing areas. All right, we have the coastal areas that are, have some far-left political leaders. But most of the state of Florida is very, very conservative. And just a few miles west of Indian River County is Polk County, Florida. It's in the center of the state. And I'm going to show you a video of the sheriff of Polk County. Grady Judd. This is what he told the citizens of Polk County yesterday, what they should do to protect themselves.
We have received information on social media that some of the criminals were going to take their criminal conduct into the neighborhoods. I would tell them, if you value your life, you probably shouldn't do that in Polk County, because the people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns, and they're going to be in their homes tonight with their guns loaded. And if you try to break into their homes to steal, to set fires, I'm highly recommending they blow you back out of the house with their guns. So leave the community alone, and we'll do our best to support the community. But ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. All of that ugliness has taken away from what we're united about. We're united about the conduct that you saw with George, where his life was taken with the knee to the neck. It's horrific, and there's not enough words to explain that. Let's keep the focus on that.
Now, Judd, Sheriff Judd is my kind of sheriff. And I'd almost move to Polk County just to have a sheriff like him. Right? That's the kind of law enforcement officer people should have, saying, we're here to defend the citizens, your lives, your property, and we will back you up as you defend your lives, your family, your property. See, if you're living in Polk County, why would you be afraid of Sheriff Judd unless you're a criminal, unless you're an anarchist? So he told them. He told the anarchists. See, the reason he said this yesterday is because the small counties here in Florida were getting messages. The anarchists were sending messages to the small counties like Indian River here in Vero Beach saying, we're going to burn your city down tonight.
Just like they did after the election. Remember, the Electoral College members, that they basically were getting messages. There were dox lists made by these anarchists, and they're trying to put their addresses out there, give them threatening phone calls.
Right.
It's not the first run for these small counties.
Absolutely. But this sheriff, he sent a message out and said, you come over here to Polk County tonight, you're going to get blown out the door.
In fact, we encourage our citizens to
blow you out the door. Now, I want you to compare Florida Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd with this Seattle City Council member, Tammy Morales. This is what she said about the way citizens should behave. Just remember, the sheriff said, I want my people to have guns and to use the guns against criminals and anarchists to protect their lives and their property. Listen to what the Seattle City Council member said.
But what I don't want to hear is for our constituents to be told to be civil, not to be reactionary, to be told that looting doesn't solve anything. And, you know, it does make me wonder and ask the question why looting bothers people so much more than knowing that across the country, Black men and women are dying every day and far too often at the hands of those who are sworn to protect and serve.
What kind of loony people elect somebody like that?
Hey, Edward, do you mind if I destroy your property and steal from you? Do you mind?
I do mind. I want to.
Okay. Can we all go to her house tonight and loot her house?
Oh, no, she gets to lock her door.
Why?
Oh, because she's special. But she is endorsing anarchy. The city council member.
This is what I'm telling you. This is the Democratic Party. They're anarchists. It's time that they're out it. Actually, they've been out. It's been as plain as day. People have denied what's going on.
Yeah, they're flaming anarchists.
Now you're actually seeing the fruit of their work. The cities are burning. So it's now time to rise up and crush the communist network in this country. You have to crush it, or they're going to crush you. They're going to burn the country down. This is not about blacks. Had nothing to do with blacks at all. These are white anarchists. They're communists. And it doesn't matter the skin color on the outside. They're red on the inside. They're all red. Next one. Here's another Democrat governor. Governor of North Carolina. What was his main plank when he won the election? I will have transgendered bathrooms. Think about that, Doc. In the state of North Carolina, he won on a platform of, I'm going to let men go into women's bathrooms. While your little daughter's there, I'm going to let a pervert guy go in there if he says he's a woman. This guy's the governor. How long is America going to put up with this stuff? They're crazy. They're lunatics. These aren't just different views. They're lunatics.
Spiritual reprobates.
So Governor Cooper said today that the Republican Party cannot, well, he didn't say can't. He just said they need to scale down their plans for the Republican convention in Charlotte this summer, and that he cannot guarantee that they will be able to fully use the arena. So, in other words, I'm going to require social distancing at the convention. So here's a Democrat governor telling President Trump and the Republican Party, you're not welcomed here. We'd rather lose the millions of dollars that you'd spend in our state. We'd rather lose that money than to see you come in our state.
I bet there are cities that would love to have the Republican convention.
Oh, I think the state of Florida.
Las Vegas. I bet they would love to have the convention back in there.
Florida, Orlando, Texas, Fort Worth.
Georgia.
Georgia. I don't think the Democrat mayor of Atlanta would do something like what this governor just did. I mean, this is insulting. Seriously, Governor Cooper, you really still going on the lockdown craze? The country's on fire.
Because he doesn't want to just scale down the convention, right? They want to scale down the election itself.
Of course he does. So it's part of the resistance movement. Okay, let's move on. Next one, this is American military news. An Alabama, University of Alabama professor is telling anarchists how to tear down the Washington Monument. He's giving advice on how the monument and other major events, or major monuments in the United States, how the Washington Monument and how other historical places could be destroyed, how they could be brought down. This guy's a professor at a state-funded university, the University of Alabama, right in the heart of Dixie.
You know, she claims to be an Egyptologist. That's how she knows how to give advice, how to destroy what's become an iconic monument. And look, we understand it's a Masonic monument. That's not the point here. But she is giving advice on how to blow it up. Professor Sarah Parkak.
How long are the people of Alabama going to tolerate it? You're paying this woman's salary. How many more of these radical communists are employed in the university systems? They're everywhere. You wonder why the youth have become communists?
These are the modern-day Bel Airs.
You paid tuition. You paid tuition. You borrowed money, went into debt to have your kids turned into communists.
Funding our own destruction.
So who are the idiots here? The moms and dads that have allowed it to go on for decades in this country. Here you have a professor sending out tweets. Oh, doesn't Twitter have a policy against using Twitter to advocate the destruction of national monuments?
Yes, inciting violence. They absolutely do. They've banned everyone.
They're not going to ban. They're not going to ban those.
I'm going to say they've done it to other people.
Of course, only conservatives.
Yeah. Selective enforcement.
What do we have here? Twitter's part of the left-wing coalition that's tearing down the country.
Now, she went on to say, I'm not actually advocating tearing down monuments. And then she goes and posts a schematic on how to actually tear down the Washington Monument.
If a former Secret Service agent just started opining on Twitter about how to kill the president of the United States and drew a diagram of how to do it, would that not be passive inciting violence? Would that not be criminal?
He would be arrested. He'd be arrested. Next one. So this is last night, 82nd Airborne Division paratroopers forward deployed near Washington, D.C. Edward, how many troops are moving into D.C.?
According to Jack Murphy, a retired Ranger, it's 740 paratroopers. They're armed. They've got ammunition. They're ready to fight and defend. It's 9 Blackhawks. They're not just coming with their shells and their parachutes. It's 3 Chinook helicopters. This is a unit from the 82nd Airborne, one of America's quick reaction forces. This is something we would use, Rick, against Iran, against North Korea. It's now been sent to Joint Base Andrews in Maryland for the intent purpose of being deployed in Washington.
I want to drop down to still number 33. President Trump today compared himself to Abraham Lincoln in a tweet. What was this about?
So the president is trying to highlight that nothing he's doing is racist, that he's picked up many of the initiatives to try to fight for the rights of African Americans. He said in this tweet, my admin has done more for the black community than any president since Abraham Lincoln. Now, he's referring to criminal justice reform, referring to lowest black unemployment numbers, poverty rates. But really, this speaks, I think, much further than this, Rick. By comparing himself to Abraham Lincoln, he is saying that he, like Abraham Lincoln, was fighting a embedded civil war in this country. Abraham Lincoln is the Civil War president. He was assassinated for it.
The states, the Confederate states, were in rebellion against the Union, against the federal government. They resisted. They would nullify federal laws. They would say that law doesn't apply in Alabama, doesn't apply in Georgia, doesn't apply in South Carolina. They would nullify federal laws. Isn't that what the Democrats have done with sanctuary cities?
Exactly. They just came up with a new word.
And so every time President Trump or the Republican Congress would pass something, they would just say, doesn't apply here in California, doesn't apply in New York City. We're just going to nullify it. See, the Democrats are doing the same thing that the Democrats did in the 1850s and early 1860s. Because the Civil War, the first Civil War, was started by the Democratic Party. It was the slave party.
Yes.
It's still the slavery party. This is the blacks are still on the Democratic Party plantation. You didn't get the memo. They started the Civil War. The Republican Party, look, and I'm not a registered Republican, so don't think I'm touting the Republican Party. I'm just telling you history. The Republican Party was started to stop slavery, to prevent the Democrats from continuing slavery. The Democrats were so outraged that there was opposition to slavery that they started a civil war. This is where we're at today. And so the Democrats are starting the second civil war. If you don't think it's a civil war, we'll just hang around for a couple of weeks. This is a civil war. Whether it gets off the ground, we don't know. I hope it doesn't. But they have officially started the Civil War. This is not something that's just going to go on for a day or two and, you know, a race riot like Los Angeles, you know, back in 68. No, this is an actual communist civil war. And the Democratic Party is now the Communist Party. They got infiltrated in the 70s and 80s. And the old SDS radicals from the 60s just became older and joined the Democratic Party. And the communists said, we'll never be able to overthrow America with the Communist Party. We got to take over a party. Well, which one was the best one to take over? The Democratic Party.
So should the Democratic Party be listed as a domestic terrorist?
Well, I personally think that this is where it's going. I think there will be enough evidence that eventually will come out that it has become a terrorist organization. They're carrying out acts of violence. They're letting cities burn. If any of these mayors are caught assisting in transporting bricks into the cities, if there's any evidence that there are stand-down orders, then these people are going to be charged as terrorists. So in my closing minutes, I just want to put something out to you. If we're in a second civil war, and let me repeat this. I pray to God it doesn't happen. I don't want this to happen. I've been pleading for years to the American people, don't let this happen. There is a movement in this country to start a civil war. Don't let it happen. But we're now at that stage where they have started. They've started the shooting. They've started the looting. They've started the burning. Make no mistake about what they're doing. It is a civil war. If this is true, then what are we going to see play out? Now, Edward Examiner, I guess you listened, President Trump had a conference call with the 50 governors on, was it Monday, right?
Yes, he just said.
And immediately, one of the Democrat governors leaked edited portions of the conference call to the news media. Isn't it amazing how the president's communications always get leaked? And of course, they didn't leak the entire
call or conversation.
They edit it, which is what they're very good at doing. Try to get across a narrative. But Edward came across something that President Trump said on Monday in that private call to the 50 governors of America. This is number 34. Let's play it, and then we'll comment.
Well, this video, actually, Rick, they said in the call, we actually don't have the sound by itself. What we're about to play is actually the man that was mentioned in the call. President Trump said that General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is in charge. Now, General Milley came out with President Trump yesterday. We saw him on one. What we're going to see here, Rick, is General Milley, the man named by President Trump as being in charge meaning he's in charge of the military that deployed there, the strategy and the mission and even the plan there, that he was walking the streets of D.C. last night. This is a general, the man in charge of the response.
Not just a general.
The general.
The general. The general of all armed forces in the United States of America. And President Trump told the governors on Monday in that conference call, General Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is in charge of the operation to stop the rioting. That's an amazing decision.
Yes.
That the highest ranking military officer in the United States was appointed by the commander in chief to put down the insurrection. Now, here's the video.
And freedom of speech. That's perfectly fine. We support that. We took an oath of allegiance to the Constitution of the United States of America to do that, to protect everyone's rights, and that's what we do. We've got the D.C. National Guard out here, and I'm just checking there, seeing how well they're doing. That's all.
What's so odd about this trick is that General Milley doesn't just give impromptu statements on the street, and on the streets of America. This is a U.S. general. The general.
Well, how often do you see the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in fatigues out on the street?
Never. I can't think of a moment where this has happened.
I can't ever in my lifetime.
I can't recall it either, Rick.
So this is a hands-on operation at the highest level of the U.S. military. What does that tell you? Something big is coming down. Something big is going down. And I think the thing that's going down is the communist network in America. Whether the military simply extinguishes the fires and then lets the thing simmer, or whether the military says, we're going to root it out, we're going to eliminate it. It's been declared a terrorist group, we're going to eliminate it. We're going to hunt it down. I hope these lefties, I'm not talking about the anarchists, I'm talking about the funders of the anarchists.
The organizers.
I hope you get this through your head. you may have troops hunting your butt down.
They're giving $1. All it takes is $1 given to these anarchists.
We're not talking about $1. We're talking about millions of dollars.
Billions. Remember George Soros?
Yes.
Said he gave his entire fortune to the actions to try to stop President Trump being reelected.
There's a whole network of left-wing groups that ought to be shaking right now. So here's what I want to put up. This is a number 35. So this is, we're at a second civil war. So you have President Trump, Abraham Lincoln. On the right, you have the generals of the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln's general was Ulysses S. Grant. President Trump's general is General Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So there is the, let's call it the Union forces in the Second Civil War. Now let's go to the rebel states, the Democrats. Once again, the Democrats, same group as the 1860s, the Democrats. There is Barack Obama, the leader of the insurrection, and then his counterpart,
Jefferson Davis.
Jefferson Davis.
Leader of the insurrection.
Jefferson Davis's general was Robert E. Lee. So we have a question mark. Who will Comrade Obama appoint as his Robert E. Lee in the Second Civil War?
Rick, I just remembered there is one man who is now currently working to advise West Point. Isn't that where Robert E. Lee came out of and brought much of the officer corps with? Did you know that General McMaster is serving at West Point right now? I don't know who this general is going to be, but wouldn't General McMaster be a name recognition general?
Well, I have no idea. I have no idea who it's going to be. I don't even want to speculate who it's going to be. But Comrade Obama is missing his Robert E. Lee right now. If Obama is going to lead this Second Civil War, if he is the Jefferson Davis of the Second Civil War, he needs a Robert E. Lee. Who's it going to be? Who's going to step up and face General Milley on the battlefield? And this battlefield is going to be urban. It's going to be urban warfare. Who is it going to be? Who's going to lead that rebellion? And the next one, I want to show you, folks, if you can just hang with us just a few more minutes. We got some pretty powerful things for the ending here. This is a segment from Tucker Carlson's show last night on Fox News. Well, if anybody at Fox News gets it, Tucker Carlson gets it. He understands what's going on. And he said something about Jared Kushner. You got to understand, Tucker Carlson has a close relationship with President Trump.
Or at least he did till last night.
Yes. So. Yeah, we should say he did until last night. So watch the video, and then we'll talk about it.
What Americans want most right now is an end to this chaos. They want their cities to be saved. They want this to stop immediately. If the commander-in-chief cannot stop it, he will lose in November. The left will blame him for the atrocities they encouraged, and some voters will agree. Donald Trump is the president. Presidents save countries. That's their job. That's why we hire them. It's that simple. Some key advisors around the president don't seem to understand this or the gravity of the moment. No matter what happens, they'll tell you, our voters aren't going anywhere. The trailer parks are rock solid. What choice do they have? They've got to vote for us. Jared Kushner, for one, has made that point out loud. No one has more contempt for Donald Trump's voters than Jared Kushner does, and no one expresses it more frequently. In 2016, Donald Trump ran as a law and order candidate because he meant it, and his views remain fundamentally unchanged today. But the president's famously sharp instincts, the ones that won him the presidency almost 4 years ago, have been since subverted at every level by Jared Kushner. This is true on immigration, on foreign policy, and especially on law enforcement. As crime in this country continues to rise, Jared Kushner has led a highly aggressive effort to let more criminals out of prison and back onto the streets. This is reckless. At this moment in time, it's insane. It continues to happen. The president seems to sense this. At times, he seems aware he's being led in the wrong direction. He often derides Kushner as a liberal, and that's correct. Kushner is. But Kushner has convinced the president that throwing open the prisons is the key to winning African-American votes in the fall, and that those votes are essential to his reelection. Several times over the past few days, the president has signaled that he would very much like to crack down on rioters. That is his instinct. If you've watched him, you believe it. But every time, he has been talked out of it by Jared Kushner and by aides that Kushner has hired and controls. Kushner's assumption, apparently, is that African-American voters like looting. That is wrong. Normal Americans of all colors hate looting, obviously. Why wouldn't they hate looting? They're decent people. So what are the lessons of all that we have seen, and we've seen so much over the past 5 days? America's going to change because of this, that is certain. What can we learn from it? What should we demand going forward? The first thing to know is that we can no longer accept race baiting from our leaders. Never. That has become so common now that we barely notice it, but it is dividing and destroying this country. We should make them stop. There's almost nothing that hurts America more than this. If you are worried about the rise of extremism here, and honestly, you should be worried, this kind of insanity is absolutely certain to cause it. And let's be clear, when we say extremism, we're not talking about unconventional views that get you bounced off Twitter or scolded by the corporate HR department. We mean actual extremism, where people espouse violence against other people, where large groups come to believe their racial identity is the most important thing about them. Now, at this moment, no matter what they're telling you, no matter what they claim for political advantage, there's not a huge amount of that in this country, thank God. Most people still think of themselves as Americans and want to. But if the left keeps talking like this, there definitely will be, and very soon. And you don't want to live here when that happens. We should demand they stop immediately. Enforcing the law is not white supremacy. Insisting that everyone in the country follows the same rules is not racism. In fact, it's the answer to racism. It is equality, equality under the law. It is the one thing we must defend. And if we don't, it's over. Things fall apart. Weakness invites aggression. That is true in nature, and it's every bit as true in human society. Our leaders are weak. Predators know it. That's why this is happening. If you let people spray paint obscenities on City Hall, pretty soon they are overturning cop cars. If you put up with that, they'll come right through the front door of the police precinct and they will burn it down. Next thing you know, they are beating people to death in shopping malls. And then what? What happens the next time the mob doesn't like something? What will the mob demand next? Let's hope we never find out, because we are close.
So Tucker Carlson just laid out President Trump's Talmudic Kabbalah Chabad Lubavitch son-in-law for undermining the Trump administration every step of the way. Isn't that what we said on True News for 4 years?
You said it in 2017. We were saying it privately as we saw things about Jared Kushner. We said it at CPAC in 2017.
Mr. Trump, if you want to be reelected, Mr. Trump, you need to get... You need to get your son-in-law and your daughter out of the White House. Obviously, you can't get off personal relationships, but they don't belong in the White House. They don't belong there advising you, and you've given too much power to Kushner. He's hurt you for 4 years. One of these days, Mr. President, you're going to find out that your son-in-law is the snake.
Is he President Trump's handler?
I think so. I think he's the Zionist handler in the White House. And the president's going to have to wake up to this, or he's going to lose the election, or something even worse before November. I mean, if the country completely falls apart because of the Democrat-inspired violence, we don't know what will happen in this country. But he needs to get Jared Kushner out of the White House. I'm fed up with him. I've been opposed to him from day one. I had a sick feeling in my stomach when I heard that Kushner was going to be on the White House staff. And I knew it was going to end up badly. And Tucker Carlson just said it very clearly, what we have been saying for 4 years. Boot Kushner out of the White House while you still have a chance. So I commend Tucker Carlson for saying it. Took a lot of courage to say that, because there can be blowback for coming up against a powerful Zionist who is embedded in the White House. I know a lot about that. Now, this next one is, well, I don't have the video, you know, I don't have the video. President Trump, there was supposed to be a video here of what he retweeted.
This is that.
It is?
Yeah, so what?
So we got the whole video?
We did, we do.
Okay, so President Trump retweeted a video today with an astounding statement that went over, was it Fox News?
Yes, it was on Laura Ingraham's program. It was the same from last night.
Laura Ingraham's program, right? The Fox News censor must have been at the in the bathroom when this happened.
Social distancing.
Yeah, I don't know how this got out. I got shut down on Fox Radio so fast when Alan Combs was interviewing me. I mean, the censor there pulled the plug so quick because I was talking about the Kennedy assassination and the mysterious death of Judge Scalia. And, man, they went to commercial break really fast. But anyhow, they got this out on Fox News. This is a number 38 for our control room. We'll watch this one, too.
I'm so pleased that President Trump, Attorney General Barr, have labeled Antifa a terrorist organization. What they need to do is follow the money. How is it that bricks and bats and two-by-fours end up in these communities from Kansas to Los Angeles to New York and given out to these violent anarchists? Follow the money, and I suspect you're going to find Open Society Foundation and George Soros fingerprints. That man should have been deported several decades ago. He's a destruction to our civilization and a clear and present danger to our country.
That went out on Fox News.
And what was just said there is that George Soros, the billionaire activist who's been funding every kind of rebellion, could be funding this rebellion.
All right. Wait a minute. Jared Kushner has borrowed money from George Soros.
Yes. Has had business relationships with George.
Could Kushner be the plant inside the White House?
According to Tucker Carlson, Kushner delayed the response from the federal government. He talked President Trump out of it as some kind of bigoted, racist way of getting African-American votes. But the collusion here is that both George Soros and Jared Kushner apparently have the same motivation of carrying on this anarchy.
Hey, Mr. President, kick your son-in-law, Jared Kushner, out of the White House and go after Soros.
Yes.
Do the right thing.
You retweeted it. Now let's, you know.
We're tired of tweets. Action, okay? What you did yesterday was great. We need more of it. Don't let your son-in-law talk you out of it. Now, Edward, you during one of the videos, you whispered over here to me that One America News is reporting this very hour that there has been a shocking discovery in Washington, D.C.
Yes, there are. The Washington correspondent, Jack Posobiec, he claims that two crates filled with pipe bombs were discovered by the Korean War Memorial in D.C. Now, he claims that the suspects were spotted in bushes and that federal officers, he said assets, are in pursuit of these men. By the end of today, Rick, we could wake up tomorrow to find that there are men or women in custody who had the intention of blowing things up in our Capitol.
Like memorials.
Or people.
And people.
Can you imagine if one of these pipe bombs had been in Lafayette Park as President Trump and his cabinet came out to that church?
So if they brought in the pipe bombs today, how did they get them into the city, which is run by a Democrat mayor who refuses to bring law and order to the city? Look, I think the president of Congress can easily remove her. The District of Columbia is a federal district.
That's right.
They can easily remove her and federalize the city very quickly. You got the Capitol Police. That ought to be done immediately. How did the pipe bombs get in there? What were the pipe bombs intended for? Monuments? People? Police officers? Government officials? Once again, the communist insurrection planning massive acts of violence in the United States of America to terrorize you and me so that we would quit, give up, let them have their way. Well, we're not going to let them have their way. We're going to take a stand, and we're going to put down a communist revolution. I got two more, and then we're going to close it up. These are not connected to the violence that's going on in America has to do with financial matters, but they're so important. I think you need to hear them. Number one, CNBC reported today that Wells Fargo Bank, worried about defaults, has stopped making loans to most independent car dealerships. What this means is that Wells Fargo, one of the biggest banks in America, has cut off financing to car dealerships. So this is independent car dealerships. So this would be dealerships that are not selling GMs, Fords, the main name brand cars. Typically, they're selling used cars.
Right.
And so the financing has been cut off, which means that the car buyer going to an independent dealership will not be able to get financing unless that dealership can come up with another bank that's willing to do the financing. But apparently, there's a Carmageddon underway. Why? Because Hertz filed bankruptcy. There are more car rental companies teetering on bankruptcy. Was it Advantage that is also there?
That's another one. So,
because of the coronavirus lockdown, which has been imposed and extended by the Democrat progressive governors and mayors, destroying the economy. And so there's what they're calling Carmageddon. The car industry is destroyed right now. So Wells Fargo is backing out. No more car loans to independent dealers. Now, the next one is even more shocking. This is on an international scale. This is out of the South China Morning Post in Hong Kong today. It says, China weighs risk U.S. will go for nuclear option and cut Beijing from the dollar payment system. What this means is that the Trump administration is considering cutting China off from using the SWIFT bank wire system and other international money transfer systems, which is essential to move money from one country to another. That's why they call it the nuclear option, because if a country's cut off, they're isolated. There's no flow of money coming in. And apparently Donald Trump is thinking about cutting them off.
Or at least China fears it at the very least. And so, I mean, they're considering what will be the reaction to the national security law that was passed in Hong Kong. Will the U.S. react with cutting China off from the SWIFT system? We've cut Iran off. We've used that.
But Iran doesn't have nuclear missiles.
Right. So,
and submarines.
But this is an option that we have. And we're talking along these lines, obviously. We've been ramping up the rhetoric as well on Hong Kong by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and others. And so this very well could be the road we're heading down, Rick.
That's a shocking story. I was surprised when I read it today because our focus is on the burning of American cities right now. And you realize, World War III's out there, too.
It's all related.
Hey, what's it all leading to? I'll tell you what it's leading to. A final day. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're on a fast track. Man, when 2020 started, we started zooming at a rapid speed, a velocity we've never experienced before, towards the final day, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on the prize. The prize is the return of Jesus Christ. Our eyes cannot be focused on politics and nationalism and all the other things that are important to us. This is the real important thing, the second coming of Jesus Christ. The world is breaking up. The whole world is falling apart. But it's exactly what Jesus told us 2,000 years ago was going to happen. We're headed towards this last day, the very last day of mankind. And that's why I wrote a book about it. I had no idea when this book came out in January that all this stuff was going to happen.
Perfectly timed.
A pandemic, riots, locusts by the trillions, mutant ticks, What else is out there?
Locust swarms.
I'm waiting on the space aliens to show up this year. What else is going to happen in 2020? We're on a fast track to the final day. And I encourage you to get the book. It will change your thinking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It will just wipe the cobwebs out of your mind, and you'll be able to think straight and talk straight and tell people about the second coming of Jesus Christ. The book is $29.95. The proceeds are supporting True News. And you can go to truenews.com, T-R-U-N-E-W-S, truenews.com. Click the banner at the top of the page. It will take you to the checkout store. If you would like me to autograph the book, I'd be glad to do it. And we're asking for a donation of $100. A lot of people must be doing it because I signed a lot of books.
Yes. And just one quick announcement. If you tried to call our 800 number yesterday, there were some issues that was going on at the call center. So if you did make an attempt to try to call the 800 number, it's working fine today.
It is back. Is that running again? Okay.
So that number is 800-576-2116. That's 800-576-2116. They just had a small issue yesterday, but it's back up and running today.
And yeah, if you want to send an old-fashioned check or money order or cash, it's Post Office Box 690069, Vero Beach, Florida, 32969. If you send a check, please add about $10 for shipping. Just put a nice rounded $40 in there. The book is $29.95. Add $10 to help us with the shipping, and we will get a book out to you right away. If you want me to autograph it, we're asking for a donation of $100. And again, a number of you must be asking because I keep signing a lot of books. I'm not able to write the personal messages anymore. I started out that way, writing the names and personal messages. I couldn't do it. There's too many of them to do. I hope you understand.
The whole book's a personal message.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was just taking me too much time to get that many books written, signed. So I hope you appreciate them just signing my name and scripture. And but very, very grateful for your generous support. Don't take your eyes off Jesus Christ. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. He said, if you endure to the end, you shall be saved. It's the promise of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He said we would face perilous times. Well, they're here. Don't be afraid. Don't let anxiety or fear overtake you. Let faith surround you, empower you, direct you. The peace of God will be in you, over you, around you, completely cover you with his peace, a peace that the world can't understand, a peace that passes all understanding. That's what he promises to his children. Put your faith and your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for everybody around the world. We're so grateful that you're watching in so many countries around the world. I just am amazed that the emails are coming in. People and on just about every continent watching True News. God bless you. You're our family. We love you very much. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
God bless you.